The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, we do. And we've got another big one planned for you today. You missed yesterday's. Shame Bell for you. Don't miss today's. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the King of the UFC, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron likes it. He will read it. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975.com. Click on Twitch or go to Twitch. Find ESPN975. Very easy. And it's a Thursday. Hope everybody's in a great mood because we are. Dana White going to join us today in studio.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's pretty badass. This has been a good week. You've done a great job getting Bones Jones yesterday for the last segment. If you missed that, that's on podcastarena.com. That was really good. We've had a bunch of fighters, and now we get the big man himself.
Yep.
So what's happening? Y'all excited about these NBA trades?
Do you get excited about it?
No.
I don't. I mean, most of the guys that got moved first of all, let's think about who got moved and where they got moved to. Nobody of note got really moved anywhere. So,
right. There wasn't anything sexy.
The Warriors Timberwolves trade was probably the big splash trade of the day. And those teams are like, what do they got combined? Like 4 wins?
Yeah.
Okay. It just doesn't seem like it's got a, there's not a big splash is all.
Well, there usually isn't. I mean, the big things happen in the off season most of the time. And in this case, no different. And, nothing, there wasn't really anything. I thought the Rockets would be in on a big man.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. So,
Marcus Morris got traded again.
Yeah.
Apparently, Andre Drummond's going to move to Cleveland again, a team that doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Morris move, though, at least he's going to a team that, that helps that. That helps that team.
Yeah.
That may make a difference in the actual title chase. The rest of them,
And then Andre Iguodala finally moves.
Yes.
We'd been talking about him, and they actually get a decent decent piece back, getting Justice Winslow. Like, if I'm the Grizzlies, I'm pretty excited about that because you weren't going to have Iguodala playing for you anyway,
right?
So,
that's at least a rotational player for you.
I think he maybe even more than that. So, I like what the Grizzlies ended up doing. Again, it's all relative to not having Iguodala on the floor. Like, I like Andre Iguodala. But if you're not going to have him on the floor, what's the point of having him?
Right, and I mean that's a team that is looking to the future, and I think it's a good move for them. And I like everything the Heat have been doing lately. I think that's a good move for them. That's a key player on a team that should win a round or two in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So other than that, though, not much to get excited about.
Nope.
But, hey, it's trade deadline day, so you're supposed to pretend like everything's awesome. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. That's really about it. It's interesting that this is kind of turned into a really big weekend here between the UFC card, which, man, I'm as excited about this card as I have been in a long time, and I don't know if it's just because we've had so many people through here. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how many people get into the Roughnecks, like how that goes over, because I was reading a bunch of stuff today. And now, as usual, like the national media is starting to write their XFL stories. And of course, That guy that I hate that does Pro Football Talk had this whole article about it. And it's like, it would make more sense to do this during football season and play on Tuesday or Wednesday nights. And I'm thinking, what? I'm thinking that is the dumbest. Well, it's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard because he does stuff like that all the time. But you know what is also going on during football season? The second most popular sport in the world is called college football.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Go compete with both of those? At least now you're not having to compete with either one of them. I have no problem with the timing of it. I just don't know if there's enough interest, and that's, you know, that's what we'll find out. And I hope there is, because I think it'd be kind of fun to have, you know, another football team in town that's interesting and isn't run by a dictator.
Yeah.
There's that. But, you know, I don't know. I it's one of those I'm going to wait and see on, because I think it'd be premature to get all excited and then the thing lasts 5 weeks like that other league did, and you're like, okay, great. I've invested some time and interest in this, and look what happened. So I think we're all right to be skeptical, but I'm going to give them a shot to see what they're about and see if it's interesting.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't know if this is going to feel like a full-blown replacement for the NFL for me. That's tough to do for anybody, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Well, yeah, and
there's some crazy. I mean, it's not even. I don't know how to describe it. It's not really football,
right?
I mean, it's a different kind of game, and I'm curious to see how closely it resembles football. Like, two forward passes or there's a lot of stuff that makes it sound like intramural flag football championships.
Gimmicky. Very right. Gimmicky.
Like the kickoff thing where you kick off from your own 30. That's weird. You're not allowed to kick into the end zone. I don't understand it totally. So I'm surely going to watch this weekend to kind of figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, from a selfish perspective, I hope they do well because they're on the station. And if the league does well, then that's good for us.
Yeah.
But on the... just in general, I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I want to see what it's about, but I've talked to a lot of people who are excited about it, at least for the start.
Right.
Yeah, everybody's excited when something's getting cranked up, but I think, you know, it makes for an interesting weekend. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. One of my favorite things is pre-draft stories that come out that aren't really very meaningful, but everybody runs with them. You see that the Joe Burrow story about maybe he's not that all in on the Bengals.
And then that's kind of been...
And then his dad has to come back and say, that's not true, that's not true.
Yeah, that's kind of been the rumor. Like, they've kind of hinted around it for a while. Like, Joe wants to go somewhere. They're committed to winning championships.
Good luck wherever you get drafted. There's not a team that low that's going to be committed to winning championships. But, I don't blame him if he says, yeah, I'd rather go somewhere else because who wants to go to Cincinnati?
Right.
But that's, unfortunately, that's just the way it works. You got to go where they tell you. But there's always stories like this every year. And it starts getting, and I'm sure it's agents floating it, trying to get, you know, somebody else drafted number one or something like that. But, you know, if I'm Joe Burrow, I'd be happy that whatever I did to sell my soul to the devil that's got me to be the number one pick, I'd probably just go ahead and ride that. I'd probably go down to the crossroads and sing and just say I'm good. You know? But we shall see.
I'm looking at the top 10 drafting teams.
Yeah. Tell me which one's committed to winning.
I think that in my lifetime, two of these teams have won Super Bowls.
Okay.
You may correct me on this. Bengals, no.
No.
Redskins, yes.
Yes, but...
hard to imagine that they're really committed to winning.
They were winning Super Bowls back when Rockets were winning championships.
Before that, even.
Yeah.
Lions, no. Giants, yes.
Yeah, but they're kind of a mess right now, too, though.
They're definitely a mess.
But at least that's an organization you can say, hey, we've done it before.
Dolphins, no.
They did way back in the day.
I'm talking before I was alive.
Not not when before. I was actually at the Super Bowl at Rice Stadium that they won. So I'm going to respectfully disagree on that one.
Chargers, no.
No.
Panthers, no. Came close.
They've been there.
Cardinals, came close.
Yeah.
Jaguars?
No.
Browns?
No.
That's your top 10. And I'll be honest, you can go further. 11, 12, 13 haven't won them in my lifetime either. Jets, Raiders, Colts. Oh, Colts have won.
Yeah.
So Colts 11, 12 haven't then. So, yeah.
The team that I would most want to go to that you've listed there is the Colts, and they're too far down.
They're 13.
If you want, and they're not going to. I mean, they would have to trade a fortune to move up to get him.
The Chargers are an interesting prospect. I mean, I guess the Raiders, there's some interest to that just because they're moving and, like, you could be the face of a new franchise.
Yeah, and Vegas. I think that would be pretty awesome. I mean, I don't like John Gruden. But other than that, I'd love to play there.
Yeah.
But that would be, that would almost be the coolest thing ever to go play quarterback in Vegas when they're starting and have success. Because you'd be a rock god in that city.
Yeah.
And there's a lot worse cities in the world to be a rock god in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. Somebody asked, can you guys go over the different rules? There's a whole story on SportsMap that does that for you, and there's a bunch of them, so it would be an awful long segment that would probably bore a lot of people, but if you go to the website, there's an article on it that we reposted today. And somebody said, I was looking into Roughneck tickets. They opened up a few sections upstairs because the bottom's almost sold out.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But, hey, it's game one. And ultimately, you've got to deliver with something entertaining. And it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be great football, but it does need to be entertaining that people want to go back to. And that's what we'll find out. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN. ESPN 97.5.
Guys, if you are looking for a place to watch the fights on Saturday, UFC 247, Little Woodrow's, your fight night headquarters. UFC 247, of course, coming up on Saturday, and they're showing the fights, and they're bringing the fighters to you. They're hosting after parties with tons of fighters, including John Jones, Derek Lewis, Valentina Shevchenko, Juan Adams, Lauren Murphy, who's come on our show. You gotta get by one of these places, meet these fighters after the fights, and if you're not going to be in Toyota Center, this is the place to go to watch it. Come by Friday, your chance to win two tickets to the fights at Toyota Center. So visit Little Woodrow's on Twitter and their location-specific Facebook pages for more info on which fighters are going to be where. But you're going to want to get out to your nearest Little Woodrow's this weekend to enjoy the fights all together and of course, the after parties. That's Little Woodrow's, your local Texas watering hole, and your home for UFC 247 in Houston.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Texter says, you don't like Gruden? Well, at least he's better than O'Brien. You know what? To quote the Irish guy in Great White Hype, I'd rather be turked by a syphilitic bear than have Bill O'Brien as my head coach, but I'd take him over John Gruden.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty close, but I will say, I mean, John Gruden's done something Bill O'Brien is unlikely.
He won a Super Bowl with somebody else's team, and beyond that, I'll give him credit for getting the Raiders built up to a point where they became a Super Bowl team in the next year. But other than that, his career has been very mediocre to below average, and sitting out that long, People hear him on TV and say, oh, he's great, he's great. He's great on TV. Doesn't mean he can coach. And usually when guys sit out that long, I think the list is one, Dick Vermeil. This is the only guy who sat out and then came back and was able to do something. And I have not been impressed. Early this year, I thought maybe he's got something going with these guys.
Well, I mean, I think relative to what expectations were, he did a pretty good job this season.
I'd say over the first half of the season he did. They really fell apart the second half.
Yeah, but I mean, if I had told you, what'd they finish? 8-8, 7-9? I think
they were 7-9.
If I told you they were going to win seven games preseason, would you have thought that? They finished second place in the AFC West?
I think part of that was because the Chargers were awful, and they were supposed to be better than that. But, I mean, I would have thought that was the ceiling. But then when you're sitting 6-2 at one point, or 6-4, I think it was, that's not a good finish.
Yeah. And, you know, they've done some... I don't know. He's not the full-blown GM of that team. I think that he has...
not your buddy Mike Mayock.
He's got some say in what groceries that the Raiders buy. And if this draft is any indicate, I mean, Josh Jacobs was an instant impact guy. I don't know. I don't know how good he is, but I have been impressed with him so far. He's exceeded my expectations.
Well, I expected him to be 5-11 every year, so yeah,
I didn't even,
he's exceeded my expectations.
I
mean, but
I wasn't sure they'd be 5-11. I was thinking more like a 3-13. Like they could have been a bottom feeding team, and they were respectable.
Yeah, I mean, they've been respectable with other coaches. They were respectable with Jack Del Rio. Hell, they made the playoffs with him. So, until he proves that he's more than a mediocre coach, then I'm going to throw him in the Bill O'Brien box and leave it at that.
Well, someone pointed out that the Raiders won a Super Bowl in 83, so I was alive for that.
Oh, there you go.
I was just 3 years old.
Well, that's on you then. Yeah. You should have been watching at three. It's your damn problem. Squeeze in a couple calls real quick. Chaz, go.
Hey, who do y'all think parties better, Gronk or Kelsey?
Gronk.
I mean, yeah, I think
Gronk has a longer history of.
He's just had more. He's also had more opportunities to celebrate.
Yeah, and he does it well. I mean, he's kind of a gold standard. And yeah, I mean, I think I'll go Gronk. So, I just got a email from ESPN Houston.
Okay,
guest alert: Dana White is in studio with the Blitz.
Who told them that?
I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Let's talk to Josh. Hey, sports, Josh.
Hey, guys. Since XFL is owned by Vince McMahon or whatever, I was wondering, what would you think if they threw in some, just the right amount of antics, you know, have a defensive end come out with a microphone and call out, like, the opposing left tackle once in a while. Maybe the ref's not looking and somebody on the sidelines trips a corner every now and then. What would you guys think about that?
Didn't they try that the first time? Like, they interviewed He Hate Me about why he had He Hate Me on the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
And he just pointed across and said, because He Hate Me. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I just want it to be a good on-field product. That's really all I care about.
Yeah. The entertainment aspect of it is key for the people in stadium. I think if you want to be successful long-term on TV, which is what their hope is, then the product has to be good. Or at least entertaining and different. And they've got a lot of different things they're going to do, and hopefully they'll work out. But, you know, I'll be interesting to see what kind of – they've got to have some kind of WWE influence, I would think, on their production at least. And
yeah.
And I'm kind of curious how that will be. Now, talking to Granato, the ESPN and Fox have got like
– it's a legit TV contract.
Yeah, and they actually – I mean, they've got A-teamers doing this stuff.
Well, they're invested in it.
Yeah, so that to me is a good step in the right direction, and you know that's what's going to determine whether it's successful or not is if it has success on TV and can sustain that success. And by success, it doesn't have to do ridiculous numbers. But if you're doing 5 or 6 shares, that's more than baseball.
Here's what I'll say: they've already got me to the point that I'm willing to watch a game. I didn't even watch an AAF game. I never watched a single game.
I watched a couple, and they were just so bad. Well, and they're throwing Christian Hackenberg at me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's not going to get it done.
And I stand by it. The success of this XFL hinges on whether or not there's good quarterback play. And if because when you watch football with bad quarterback play, it becomes unbearable in a hurry.
It does. And I think, well, it doesn't need to be great quarterback play in relative to NFL. It needs to be just like college. Like if you got a guy who's a great quarterback at the college level,
it needs to be entertaining, respectable.
Yeah. Then that's, and if they can do that, speaking of which, you see your Roughnecks name their starter?
No.
PJ Walker will be the starting quarterback.
All right. That's exciting.
I know. I can tell. Well, I know you liked him a little bit. You know, over Connor Cook was your other option.
Yeah, so. AAF quarterbacks, Aaron Murray, Zach Mettenberger, Matt Sims. Got to get better. Got to be better than that.
Well, I think that's the thing. If you get guys who thrive in whatever system and you can put up points and it's exciting, then they'll be okay. Like I like watching. I mean, I watch CFL, and when those guys aren't NFL quarterbacks, but when they're playing well, they're a lot of fun to watch, and the rules are different enough. And you know, plus I bet on it. But I mean, I'll do that. It's just no different than watching Conference USA football back in the day. If you got a team that can score a bunch of points and is fun, and they got some interesting coaches. I mean, June Jones' teams can put up points, and Bob Stoops' teams always put up points. So I just wonder how long Bob Stoops is for this league.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at there's a story here about the 8 quarterbacks who started for the AAF. Okay. Mike Bercovici for the San Diego Fleet.
I like to call him Mikey.
They had drafted Josh Johnson, and then after Alex Smith and Colt McCoy left, Josh Johnson was like, no, I'm going to the Redskins. Dustin Vaughn of the San Antonio Commanders.
Didn't he pitch in Major League?
No, that's Rick Vaughn.
Oh, sorry.
Dustin Vaughn
was
played.
He, a
he was the 2-time Lone Star Conference Offensive Player of the Year during his time at Division II West Texas A&M.
Wow. Josh, is that greater than or less than A&M Corpus Christi?
I think that's less than.
Okay, just checking.
Josh Woodrum for the Salt Lake Stallions. He played at Liberty. This was before
Liberty got
was
good.
They were an FBS team. This is when they were still playing in FCS. Garrett Gilbert, you're familiar with him, played for the Orlando Apollos. I'm familiar with him. Former Texas and SMU quarterback, bounced around a bunch of NFL teams, never really got anything going.
If I'm not mistaken, he got a ring for somebody.
He did, Patriots.
Yeah.
Christian Hackenberg, we've discussed, of the disaster. Memphis Express. He won the job over Zach Mettenberger. Luis Perez of the Birmingham Iron, also Division II Texas A&M Commerce. 2017 national champion in Division II.
A&M Commerce greater than A&M Corpus?
I don't know.
Okay.
Matt Sims of the Atlanta Legends and Trevor Knight of the Arizona Hotshots. Trevor Knight, formerly
of an A&M.
Former A&M, former Boomer Sooner quarterback.
But the A&M, not A&M dash. Not A&M dash anything. Or dash A&M.
They've got to be better than the AAF at quarterback.
Well, I'd be curious to go through their quarterbacks and see if they're better, but we'll have to do that
later.
We'll
have to see on the field, I think.
Yeah. Guys, I have to tell you about mybadexperience.com. This is a real site with no fake stars or ratings, no ads. This is a way to warn others and help them before it's too late. You could post any bad experience that you've had with a business, and for $4.99, you can tell all. You might even be able to reach a resolution with the business to compensate you for your loss of hard-earned money. And it could be any bad business experience. And this isn't a troll site. I mean, it is real, and they verify everything. So when you put something up there, it's real, and you're paying for it. And that's the thing. I mean, a paid review is a legitimate review. And this is a good way to stop bad business practices, whether you've had a contractor where it was an absolute mess, or plumbing issues or something like that. Well, you could get on mybadexperience.com, tell the world what happened, and they'll have to see it too. And maybe you get a resolution, and maybe you keep it from happening to someone else. MyBadExperience.com, a paid review is a legit review. Stop bad business today, MyBadExperience.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We'll have Dana White shortly. Be patient. One hockey play tonight. We're going to get back on the Vancouver overtrain. Vancouver, Minnesota over 6. The game last night that I chickened out because it went to 7. They scored 8 goals.
Oh.
Vegas is catching up now, so now you kind of have to adjust some of these things. But we'll give Vancouver another shot tonight against Minnesota over 6 goals. So try to end our little modest 2-game losing streak. So,
Pistons for Andre Drummond. Pistons will receive Brandon Knight, John Henson, and a second-round pick for Andre Drummond.
Hmm. Is that Brandon Knight who briefly came through here? He passed through Houston. I don't think he ever played.
I think so. I would have hoped to get more.
You would think.
Well, Andre Drummond's pretty good. That's too bad.
Is that a salary dump?
I guess. I don't know what the Pistons... I mean, who knows what the Pistons are doing? It's a joke organization.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're... Maybe those are just expiring contracts, and they think they'll be able to get somebody else in the offseason. I don't know.
Yeah, you got me.
Oh, well, it's Detroit. It's bad enough to have to live there.
Exactly.
713-780-3776 is your number. 713-780-3776. Joey wanted us to know how much he appreciated the Rick Vaughn joke, that it made his day. And lots of good comments about the John Jones interview yesterday, which was really, really good. So if you haven't heard that, don't do it now, because we want you to, you know, basically listen live.
Yeah.
But later on, go back and listen to it. Last segment of the show yesterday, we even went a little past 7 o'clock to make sure that we got all of it in. But really good stuff from him. And, you know, that's... It's the biggest star in the game, man. I don't know if he's the biggest star. That's probably still Connor.
Yeah.
But he's the best fighter.
He's the best
fighter. No question. And
he's the most accomplished fighter.
Yeah, and it'll be very cool to see him Saturday night. And I just get more and more excited about this card every day. So, and then I guess we have to get through the weigh-ins tomorrow and make sure that nothing happens. So, we don't lose a fight at the last minute. Because I'm always paranoid about that now.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, shout out to, he's not listening for once because he's in Vegas at the National Horse Racing Championship, but Trey Stiles, who was on our show a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
He's out there playing and wishing him all the best. That's a guy who's going to win one of these before it's all said and done. So.
And you'll say you knew him back when.
Yeah. Well, that's it's typical. It's like, you know, they all get famous and
move on.
Then leave me behind.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
The way it goes.
And they get to be really important, and, you know, you never hear from them again.
All right. Come on back here, yeah. Man.
So,
doing well. Good to see you. Pull up a seat.
Yeah.
Dana, good to see you, man.
Brought in a whole posse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm rolling deep.
Yeah, and look at you. You're like Johnny Manziel or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. This one right here.
This one?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Joined now by the president of the UFC, Dana White, who's been kind enough to bring the UFC back to Houston. And this is the 5th time you guys have been here for a pay-per-view, 6th time overall. And I went back, and I've been to every fight here. And I wanted to throw some fights that happened here at you. And every time you come out, you always say Houston's a great fight town. We always put on a good show.
Houston is a great fight town. Texas is a great fight state.
Well,
I'm pissed off because you went to Dallas twice in a row.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, where did we go? Dallas, Dallas, and not come to Houston before?
Yeah.
Well, what about San Antonio?
They got one, too.
Oh, they did? All right.
Dallas, since the last Houston card, Dallas Austin? Got two pay-per-views. San Antonio and Austin both got a card.
There's a lot of great places to go here. We're finally back. Listen to me. I love this city. This city's awesome. This city is such a fun town in so many different ways. I don't know if you guys know the rapper Trey the Truth. Guy just showed up at my hotel with two huge boom boxes at my hotel and doing all this stuff with us. And he was telling me the story. I was on the phone. I did an Instagram Live today with J.J. Watt.
I saw that.
Yeah. Then I met this guy, Trey the Truth. The people in Houston are such good people and are so into the community here in Houston. You don't find too many people in other cities that are really into the community and truly give back. This city's unbelievable in that way. It's very, very cool. He told me that he just bought, Trey the Truth just told me he bought a bigger truck so that when floods happen, he can save more people.
Derek Lewis did the same thing.
Right, yeah. I know. And Derek, too, and J.J. Watt raised $37 million. Yeah. Unheard of, man. This is. I'm not just saying this. I'm telling you this is a very cool city. So to counter your attack of me, I'm not coming back to Houston. I love this city.
I like to think that Mick will
oh, you know Mick, too?
Oh, yeah. I fought for Mick in Legacy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, so, yeah. I know cool Mick very that? Well.
Yeah. But believe me, Mick is another. Now, Mick is Australian, right? But he has turned into
he's full
a
more.
Houston guy. Yeah, he is a Houston guy. He's even gotten into like baseball and basketball and all that stuff and got away from cricket and rugby and all the
nonsense.
Other stupid stuff they play over there.
So I pulled up some of the fights that have happened in this town. And if I'm sure you remember these, and I'll remind you if you don't. But if you had fights like this in a town over and over again, you'd want to keep coming back. The first time UFC 69 was here, which that was the biggest upset at the time in UFC history.
Where Sarah GSP.
Sarah beat GSP.
Yep.
But that also had the Roger Huerta-Leonard Garcia fight, which really kind of kicked off the ESPN, like the ESPN, the magazine. It was like a huge...
No, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with that fight.
That was Anthony Pettis got the Wheaties box. But
yeah, it was Sports Illustrated.
It really blew up because it was one of the greatest fights ever. And then next time you guys came back, there were two title fights. There was Edgar Maynard 3, and there was Aldo Kenny Florian. And that card had Nam Pham versus Leonard Garcia on it, which was another just legendary, like...
War.
Dudes were just willing to go out and die.
Yep.
And then you brought Kane JDS 3, and I think DC versus Roy Nelson was on that card. And Gilbert Melendez fought Diego Sanchez on that card.
Ridiculous
just
fight.
Knockdown, right. Drag out war. And then last time you guys were here, it was DC and Gustafson, which was a great fight. What if you had to pick a fight on the card this week, what's the fight that you think, man, this could go down as like a legendary fight?
I know this is going to sound like BS because it's the main event, but
okay.
Listen, the problem with this main event fight is that enough people don't know how dangerous Dominic Reyes really is. Everybody knows John Jones great, and you know all the stats and all the things about John Jones. Dominic Reyes is young, fast, has knockout power in both hands, kicks. You know, he's a very well-rounded fighter, and just where he is mentally right now, this guy truly believes he's going to beat John Jones, upset him, and become the next champion. This is a very dangerous fight. Listen, John Jones has not been very good to himself outside of the octagon. And if you look at what he's done and what he's accomplished and the fact that he's still here and still fighting at this level, it's amazing.
John and I talked yesterday, and I kind of paralleled what happened to him outside the cage with what happened to GSP inside the cage at USC 69. When he lost that fight, he said to himself, I wasn't taking this seriously enough. I didn't realize what I had.
Right.
And I was just out partying. I was living it up. And I it took me getting embarrassed in front of the world to realize what I was doing wrong. And he changed his life from there. And he took everything super seriously. And he goes down as one of the greatest fighters ever. John didn't have to lose in the cage for that to happen.
Right.
But do you think that 2-3 year period really woke him up and made him realize you're wasting this opportunity?
Here's the thing that's crazy about that. Everything that you just said, usually by the time the guys wake up and realize it, it's too late, you know? But John Jones is such a freak of nature it hasn't been too late for him. He's still competing at this level. And, you know, it's unheard of to do what he's done outside the octagon and still be here doing it at this level. But one thing I was going to point out to you when you asked me that. So I said, I very rarely do I think the main event will be fight of the night, but I pick that as fight of the night. I think that's going to be fight of the night. If it's not, the other one that has the, it's crazy. They're on complete opposite ends of the card, but the first fight of the night on the UFC Fight Pass prelims, Lingo versus Zalal.
Austin Lingo's a freak.
Right? So if that one doesn't end up being fight of the night, the other one will.
I don't know if that'll be fight of the night. I think that'll be a performance of the night. That kid is amazing, and he's another one of the many guys on this card from Fortis MMA,
right,
which has turned into a real hotbed.
Zalal's a bad boy, too.
Yep.
So that's a very interesting fight. Those are my two picks for fight of the night.
So another thing, looking back at the past fights here, there are so many, and it's funny you mention Austin Lingo, but so many guys have fought on the undercards of these fights that have gone on to either be champions or fight for championships.
Right.
Talis Latest fought on the undercard at UFC 69 against Pete Sell. Demian Maia fought at 136. Anthony Pettis, Stipe Miocic both fought at 136. Tony Ferguson fought on the Kane JDS undercard. And then Derek Lewis and Thug Rose both fought last time that we were here on the undercard. Do you have a guy or girl on the undercard this event that you think has you a future UFC champion or future UFC title contender written on him?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick somebody right off the top of my head, I'd say Dan. Dan has the potential and the talent to get to that level. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him in a featherweight title fight.
Yeah, we had Mursad in here yesterday. That's another dude who's very confident. That's a really good, really well-paired match.
It's a great fight.
And
this is a great card. I mean, the card is really good. I mean, Latifi and Lewis is going to be fun. You know, the co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko, is an absolute beast. And Caitlin feels like she can do it. So we'll see what happens.
When Derek Lewis, he's obviously fighting a guy who's moving up from 205. Is it true that he asked for that fight? Like Ilir Latifi said, I want to fight Derek Lewis?
I guess so, yeah. You know what? A lot of people go after Derek Lewis because they feel like he's one-dimensional.
Yeah.
They feel like if they get him down on the ground, and you better believe Latifi's going to be trying to take that fight to the ground.
But we've seen it so many times. Dudes tire themselves out trying to take him down, and then with 5 seconds left, they get their clock cleaned.
He's fun to watch, man. He's fun, and he's just a fun guy, too. I mean, he's got one of the best Instagrams out there on social media. He's funny. He knocks people out. He's a good human being. You know, he's another one. Him and Trey go around and save people when there's floods, and just a fun guy.
When, in your eyes, did Texas really take off as like a hotbed of talent?
Because, day one.
Okay, because for the longest time, it was just Mike Swick was the only guy from Houston, the only guy from Texas, really, and then I guess Daniel Pineda was the next guy from Houston who made it. And then we had Andrew Craig, a few guys. Now it seems like there's 15, 20 guys.
Yeah, it's from day one. You know, when I say hotbed too, I mean in every way possible. You know, we came in here and started doing live events. Texas was, you know, big with UFC from day one. Then it just started to explode. Now people are training. More schools were opening. You know, people are doing jiu-jitsu. People are doing MMA. And this place has been great since day one for us. And like you said, you did your homework. There's been a lot of great fights here. And that's just Houston. That doesn't include Dallas and Austin and everywhere else.
So obviously, and you mentioned, you know, John having a tough matchup on Saturday. And I agree it's a tough matchup. But it seems like the last three fights, they've paired John. John had Thiago and then Anthony Smith before that. These were guys that were the casual fight fan wasn't super familiar. They're not household names. It almost seemed like he'd beaten Cormier twice. He'd beaten Gustafson twice. It's almost like there were no more natural threats to him. Like he just wiped out the world of 205. And you guys had to create guys to really challenge him.
Which wasn't true. Those guys are legit.
Very.
And those are nasty fights for him. And the thing that kind of sucks is he doesn't get the credit for beating those guys that he should, you know, because they are nasty. it's the same thing with this Dominic Reyes fight. I mean, if I could get Dominic Reyes in two more high profile fights before beating Jones, you know, people would know more about him. But this is the same thing happened. I go up to Toronto, right? And Toronto's a hot market for us, educated fight fans, the whole deal. We go up there, and everybody's complaining about this title fight that I'm bringing to Toronto, which is John Jones versus Gustafsson.
Yeah.
Okay? Ends up being the sickest light heavyweight title fight in history, and Gustafsson almost beats John Jones.
Yeah, I thought he did at the time.
A lot of people did. So everybody's waiting for the big rematch and everything else, but they didn't even see it coming.
Right.
You know, they thought that they were, we're getting this guy Gustafsson. That's what's happening Saturday night here in Houston. This kid, Dominic Reyes, is the real deal, and this is a very tough fight for John Jones and a huge threat to his title reign.
I almost feel bad for John in that, you know, he fought Thiago Santos, who's a really tough dude, a scary
dude,
and a guy who was clearly very game. And John didn't look his best, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, John's washed.
Right.
I mean, John's not—he's not what he used to be. It's almost like an unattainable standard that he's set for himself.
It's part of being, a guy like John Jones who's gone on a tear like that and done what he's done. You know, everybody expects you to finish everybody. Again, it's them not knowing enough about the guy who he's fighting, and that guy is bad, tough, scary, all of the above.
Is it also a thing where once guys reach a certain level of success, if they're not losing, fans tend to find ways to pick apart what they are doing? Like I know, like everyone is like, oh, I think Khabib lost that round. Like that's which he didn't, but I think that's the closest he's come to losing a round. He's not as great as he was. Like when you're at a certain level of dominance, people are just looking for something to pick at, right?
100%. Listen, this is going to bode well here, but I'm a huge Patriots and Tom Brady fan. Okay, huge. And
the Texans are like the trash can Patriots. We're like
they're like a Patriots cover band.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's funny.
They're the Patriots or something stupid.
But like, 4 years ago, you know, it was one of those years that we didn't win, a Super Bowl, right? Everybody was calling for Tom Brady's head, man. Get rid of this guy. Let's bring in Garoppolo. Garoppolo should be the starting quarterback and all this stuff. Ridiculous. But, you know, it goes when you are the best and you're out there performing, you know, you're always going to have critics. And it's just part of being, part of being an athlete, and it's part of being one of the best in the world.
Do you think John is the kind of guy who you can see, you know, and I always hate having to put the caveat that he's not really undefeated because of the Matt Hamill fight, but
he is undefeated.
Defeated
is when somebody has beat
someone's
you.
Someone's better than
right.
you.
Right. Somebody came in and beat you that night and you know, gave you that first loss. John Jones has a loss on his career because it was during a time in Nevada when the athletic commission was the weakest it's ever been, there was a guy who was a referee who was an absolute, when I tell you this guy was a moron, he had no business. He shouldn't have been watching fights on TV, let alone reffing them. That's how bad this guy was. And he gave John Jones a loss on his record, and it's disgusting. It makes me sick. And listen, I haven't had the greatest, you know, relationship with John Jones over the last 10 years either. He's done some things, everything else, but in no way, shape, or form did he deserve to lose that fight. That was a guy that had no business reffing that took that from him. Guy's undefeated. John Jones has never lost a fight.
Does he come across as a guy to you who will, at a certain point, walk away while he's on top? Or do you think, and I don't know, Anderson Silva's a good example of a guy who I think had a chance to walk away on top, but it's very difficult when you're a world-class athlete to say, you know what, I can't do this at the top level anymore. What does John strike you as?
There's two things. When you fight at this level, right? Number one, tomorrow night, we broke the record at the arena for the biggest gate ever in the history of the record.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, place is going to be packed. We're in Houston, Texas.
That means we'll see you in 6 months.
Exactly. See you next weekend.
Before Dallas.
Incredible incredible sports town, incredible fight town. The energy is going to be crazy. And when you walk out of that tunnel, right, come out the tunnel, the energy, the excitement, it's hard to walk away from that stuff, right? And number two, the money. It's hard to walk away from the money.
Right.
For what these guys get paid to go in and fight, it's very, very hard to leave.
Does it, I mean, does it make you respect guys who do it, like George St. Pierre, who is still, I think, could still show up tomorrow and compete with most guys in a couple weight classes?
Right.
Is it something you say, you know what, kudos to that guy for not letting himself turn into Chuck Liddell?
Yeah. Well, it all depends on how you take care of your money. You know, and George St. Pierre is one of those guys who has. George St. Pierre put his money away and you know, handled his finances smart, like Gronk. If you look at Gronkowski, again, I'm bringing up the Patriots in Houston, but Gronkowski has every dime of the $65 million that he made playing football. Every dime. He lived off his sponsorships and kept his money. If you do that, then you hold all the cards and you can do whatever you want and you can walk away feeling good that you did it at the right time. Or if you don't walk away, you can still continue to compete. But it's sad when you have to do it for the money.
So we've come
but
to
But I guess it's sad we all have to do it for the money.
Yeah, I mean,
don't
everybody
do you really still
I mean,
have to do it for the money
right?
anymore?
You guys wouldn't be here anymore. Yeah, no, but
well, if they stopped paying you, I'm guessing you wouldn't show up.
Well, the reality is this, is that I truly love this business. I love what I do. And this is the truth, too. I hate four-day weekends. I hate three-day weekends. I like two-day weekends, and I come back on Monday. So I'm in a really unique position. People come up to me all the time and go, dude, you got the best job in the world. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I do, and I love it. Yeah, it hasn't been about the money for me in a very long time.
When you guys first took over the UFC, I mean, we're talking years ago, back when you had hair. Which, by the way, anytime I look back and see pictures of myself when I had hair before I started shaving my head, I cringe. Do you do the same way?
Yeah, it's funny because I'll never forget the first time I shaved my head. I looked in the mirror and said, what did I just do? What did I just do? Oh, my God. I got to go walk around and have people see me looking like this. Then once you do it, you can't go back.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't go back.
And you look back at your pictures of yourself with hair, and it's like, why was I trying to hold on to that?
Yeah, I definitely had not conceded that I had receded, and I hung on way too long. I had this thing where I was losing it in the back. So when I looked from the front, I was like, if I can't see it, it isn't there. Yeah. So I would act like, you know, it really wasn't back there. But then I'd see pictures of myself, right?
Oh, damn it.
And then, yeah, it had to go.
So when you're first in the UFC business, did you ever picture it getting to where it's gotten today? Like, was there ever even, like, the hope that it could get to be this level?
Yeah, if you look at interviews for me 15 years ago, I say that this is going to be the biggest sport in the world. We're going to be in every country. We're going to do this and that. You know, but if you're a guy like me in a sport like this, and you know you want to be on ESPN, okay? ESPN is the holy grail for all of sports, but you don't realize how big it is till you're on it. ESPN is the biggest and the baddest sports network on the planet, and they are so good at what they do. Our business is literally on fire right now, and it has been since the day we signed with ESPN. So that's been such a huge game changer for us here. And as we continue to go into these other countries, we finally got France done. So we're going to do our first ever event in Paris this year.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's awesome, man. I guess the answer is yes, but no, not at, you know, certain things that you couldn't dream of. You know, you couldn't think about certain things because you don't know until you're in it.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story from 15 years ago where you said exactly how big you guys were going to be. And you probably won't even remember this, but I think it was 2005. You were going around to every major newspaper and meeting with the sports editors.
That's right.
And that's when we first met. I was sports editor at the Chronicle. And you came in and you start your pitch, and I stop you about 30 seconds in and say, dude, I'm in. I just wanted to meet you. And then you start telling me about how you go to all these old fogies in there, and you're making the same pitch of what you guys are now. It's like, we're going to be mainstream. We're going to be ESPN. This is what we're going to be in 15 years. And they're like, oh, it's a human cockfighting and all that stuff. And yeah. my own boss caught me on it. It was stupid.
It's crazy that you remember that and that you know that story. I literally just had this conversation with somebody the other day. And I told him, I literally used to fly all over the country. And I would set up meetings with these editors who were really old guys.
Yep.
You were a young editor.
At the time.
These were really, really old guys. And they didn't care. First of all, there's not enough room in the newspaper. They're all ball and stick, you know, this and that, or college sports, for, you know, in the local town. There's no room for you. There's no room for you. Then, boom. One of the greatest things that happened to this business was technology, social media. I jumped in the day it started. The internet, streaming, you know, all these things in technology that happened over the last 15 years have been perfect for the UFC.
Man, you really never needed them, as it turned out. They need you more now than you ever needed them. But it was interesting to me to see that you've grown this into one of the biggest sports in the world, and that you had to do that. And I think I told you that time. I think it's silly that you're going around having to do this, because you guys in 5 years they're going to be begging to cover you. And I think we were the first. It was either us or the LA Times were the first one to actually start covering every fight and
that's
doing
exactly right. Yep.
And you know, and it was great. And of course, as soon as I resigned, they got rid of it. So.
And now look at it.
This town and this state has been really good to the UFC since day one.
So let me have you look into the crystal ball a little bit and tell me if John is able to get through Saturday night, do you start looking at a Stipe Miocic super fight for John?
Yeah, listen, I would love that. You know, but that's up to him. He's got to make that decision.
That's up to John or Stipe?
John.
Okay.
Stipe, I'm sure, would love to fight him. But he's got to make the decision that he wants to go up to, heavyweight. If he does it, I'm all in, and I would love it, and I'm sure the fans all want to see it, too.
Do you think he can compete at that weight?
I do. I mean, he's a heavyweight. Yeah. I don't know how. I don't know how the hell he makes that weight.
If Daniel Cormier can beat Stipe, then I would say that John Jones has a pretty good chance, which I also think.
Very good point.
John would do it just so he could show Daniel this is how it's done, just because I think Daniel's still the guy who
sticks
with
point.
Him. What other fights are coming up beyond this weekend that you're super excited about?
You know, I'm really high on Weili Zhang, and I'm excited for her and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Two gangsters, they hate each other. And on that same card is Yoel Romero, who Israel Adesanya does not have to fight but wants to fight, and he's literally the only guy I've ever met that wants to fight Yoel Romero.
That's a scary dude.
So, yeah, it's awesome. I'm excited for that whole card. It's in Vegas, main event and co-main event, and, you know, you got to be excited about Habib and Tony.
That's the one I'm on.
I have 9 shows right now, right? I have 9 shows on sale, right? 5 of them are already sold out. The other ones are fight nights, which will sell out.
Right.
We have so many good fights coming up in 2020. We had an incredible 2019, and now 2020 is might even be better.
You expect to see Conor back in soon?
Talk to him today. Yeah, I literally talked to him today. He is chomping at the bit right now, and you know, he's sitting back watching to see how this Tony Habib thing plays out. He doesn't think that's going to happen.
How early into it? When you see, like, okay, you meet Brock Lesnar, how long before you realize what Brock Lesnar can mean to your business? How long before you realize that with him, Ronda, Conor, probably the 3 biggest stars the UFC's produced, how long did it take you to realize it with them, that they were really that big of a deal?
Well, we didn't produce Brock. Brock was already a big star. And I thought that if this guy can fight, you know,
it's going to be a moneymaker.
People will be interested. Yeah. You know, the WWE crowd will come over and everybody else. The minute I met Ronda Rousey, I knew. I wasn't even...
Because you weren't a believer in women's fighting.
I did not.
I wasn't either.
Didn't want to do it. Didn't whatever. I met her. She changed my mind. And look at what a rock star she's become. Then Conor, I had dinner with him one night. And literally, I got in my car, called my partner Lorenzo, and I said, let me tell you what, I don't know if this guy can fight, but if he can even throw a punch, this guy's going to be a huge superstar. His just his personality, his laugh, his, you know, everything about this kid was special.
Do you ever get to a certain point where there's guys who you know can make you money, it gets to be so difficult to work with them that it's just not worth it to you? I mean, I know the Diaz brothers aren't easy to work with. I know you and Frank Shamrock famously fell out. But how often do you get to a point where it's like, I know you can make me a lot of money. It's not worth it to me.
There's a huge difference. Frank Shamrock's a moron. I mean, that guy, seriously. Ask anybody that's even close to that guy. I don't even know if anybody's even close to that guy. That guy's just a moron. That's totally different than most of these other fighters that you deal with. Conor McGregor seems very difficult to deal with, but he's really not. He's really not that difficult to deal with. I don't love when he shows up late to stuff.
Right.
You know?
You want him to be a professional.
But he's worth it.
Yeah.
He's actually worth it. I got guys that are a pain in the ass that aren't worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, this is what we do. This is, you know, we have to juggle egos and, you know, personalities and all these different things and make the fights that fans want to see.
Of all the guys who in recent years, you guys finally got to the point where it was like, some guys, we're going to let them walk. If they think they can go have greener pastures somewhere else, good luck to you. Are there any of those that you look back on and go, man, I wish we would have held on to that guy?
Not one. No. Every time we did it, the timing was perfect. It was the right time. And believe me, if somebody walks, I don't let anybody walk unless...
That includes Mighty Mouse?
Everybody. No. Okay. I tried for years to build Mighty Mouse and get him, you know, it didn't work. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know what it did? I got him in here. He built a nice little legacy for himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And made himself interesting to another promotion. They paid him a lot of money. The guy's doing really well. He's making good money for his family and hopefully enough money that when he retires, he can live off that for the rest of his life. I'm happy for him.
When you, for the longest time, you were a no on Ben Askren. No, no,
yep.
No. You bring him in, he runs his mouth enough. He gets a win over Robbie Lawler that's questionable at best.
Right.
And then he gets basically destroyed twice in a row. Is there some part of you that says, see, I told you guys, this guy isn't some magic trick. This isn't the greatest fighter like you guys think
right. He
is. Like, is there some sort of satisfaction in telling everyone, I told you so?
No. I don't have to get any more satisfaction. If I have proved to everybody that I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm talking about, I don't know what to tell you. But Ben Askren, everything in life is about timing. And it was the perfect time for Ben Askren to come in. And in that division, people got interested. He talked a lot of smack and, you know, and he was undefeated. And he believed that he was the best in the world at 170 pounds. And he got the opportunity to come in and prove himself against these other guys. And it was fun. It was fun when he was here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was fun. You know, he made some money. He got to test himself in the UFC. And
now he knows.
And I think all the fans had a good time, too. You know, so it was cool. I don't have any grudge against him. But at the time when we were talking, you see the way that he portrays himself and whatever. He was super arrogant and I wasn't ready for him then.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for him.
When did you realize that Derek was going to be a star? Did you ever think Derek Lewis would be A, fighting for a title, and B, one of the most popular guys on your roster?
Yeah, so when I told you about the meetings with Ronda and Connor, that's one way you find out. The other way you find out is when you watch these guys fight and see how they act and their interviews and how the crowd reacts to them. You get to see it. You know, like Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the first time that I saw her fight, I had my guy go get her and, you know, she went back and showered and got ready. And then I had her come sit with me for the rest of the night for the fights. And I got to talk to her and, you know, get to know her a little bit. And I knew she was going to be special, you know? And Derek's the same way. Derek, when I saw him fight, I said, man, and people love him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a fun dude. Well, Dana, I love that you've brought the UFC back. I hope you keep coming back.
Thank you, sir.
We love having you here, man. I love being a part of this. Enjoy the show this weekend, and best of luck with all you've got coming up. Sounds like things are rolling for you, man.
I really appreciate it. Thanks. You know what I can tell in my time that I've been here? This is the MMA guy right here. This is the sports guy over here, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's in on everything else.
I'm very much into MMA, but he's an expert on it, so I just stay the hell out of the way. I mean, there's nobody that knows more about it than him.
I kept catching myself. I was like, gee, I'm not turning my back on you. But it's great to be here. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, man. We'll see Saturday.
Yep.
That's UFC President Dana White. We'll be right back, guys.